It's time once again for the hottest hour on AM radio, Faith and Sport, coming to you on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also broadcasting across Radio Maria. So glad to be back with you. All of our Radio Maria listeners tuned in around the Radio Maria Radio Network. I'm Chris, the producer of Faith and Sport. And as always, here he is, the host of Faith and Sport, the one, the only, Dr. John Aquaviva.
Well, that crowd got louder as they went out. I love it.
Yeah.
Folks, welcome to the show, however, wherever you are listening. And happy and holy, holy week to you, folks. This is a great week in the church. I'm sure you have a big smile on your face just because of that. But if nothing else, we're bringing faith in sport. This is where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. So whether you are a referee, whether you are a player, whether you are a parent or grandparent of a player, administrator of any sort in the world of sport, this is the show for you. It's a regular sports show, but we just weave character, morality, and ethics into it. So thank you so much for joining us here on Carolina Catholic Radio. And as Chris said, welcome to those Radio Maria listeners. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to discuss all things sports, including our hit and miss with Carlos Herrera. He's going to join us in about 2 minutes. We have the Charlotte Catholic football update. We're going to do weekend headlines. After the break, we have our guest for part two, and he is Michael Lynch, the women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey. We're going to take that conversation down a different lane. He's always got good stuff to say. Stay tuned for him in the second part of the show, and something we took away from you last week, the quick Q&A with Dr. A. Chris, how was your weekend, brother?
A little disappointing.
Because?
Well, the Wolfpack got knocked out of the NIT, and the NASCAR race got postponed, got rained out, so it's supposed to be held this week.
So
the first dirt track race in about 30 years.
That's right, brother.
NASCAR Cup Series.
That's right. So, brother, here's the thing, though. Because you had so much time in your hands, my guess for your grandchildren, you're going to be able to hide those eggs in Easter baskets in extra specially tough places.
Yeah.
You're going to have all this time
That's
in
right.
your hands. Come on, brother. Well, folks, homes in this area undergo moisture-related issues, especially in the upcoming high-humidity summer months. Humidity and excess moisture leads to wood frames to deteriorate, mold, buckled hardwood floors, and insect problems, to name a few. So don't go to bed with crawl space woes. Call Carolina Crawl Space Pros today for an estimate and an additional $250 off if you use the code word FAITH. For website and contact information, go to my page on Carolina Catholic Radio. That's Carolina Crawl Space Pros. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here on Faith in Sport. Listen, if you know somebody that would like to be on this show, they're some type of coach, or they're involved in sport in some way, and you think they have do a particularly good job of weaving character, morality, and ethics into their position as a coach or as administrator, we would love to have them on this show. So please email me at faithandsport@wingate.edu, or you can tweet me at j.aquaviva1. That's the number one. And for all that stuff, you can just go to carolinacatholicradio.org to find out more information. Let's see. Carlos is on the line. We're going to have a discussion about all things sports, including our hit or miss. Carlos Herrera, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Lolitos!
I love it. Great to be back. Very excited, and very excited to be part of the Holy Week that's upcoming here.
Absolutely,
preparing
brother.
Preparing for this very special, the holiest time of year.
Oh, this is great, and it's a real blessing that at least, you know, in this part of the world, hopefully in your part of the world too, Carlos, that there's been some restrictions have been lifted about going to church and how many people allowed at church and so forth. And I just hope that everybody takes advantage of this, because my fear, as you and I have talked about, I think on the radio before, I know we've talked about this off air, is that this whole pandemic this last year may lead to a drop, and maybe a significant drop, in people going to get the sacraments, and in particular going to Mass. And that saddens me, and that is bad for our culture, because it's directly affecting our souls.
I absolutely agree. I think there's going to be an impact, and like anything else, it's going to take time to kind of get that back. But hopefully programs like this and relationships that we have, and I meant to say this in the last program that we had, that people should who are listening to these shows should talk about these topics and items with family members, with
That's right.
people at work, so that, you know, faith isn't just relegated to just Sunday.
That's
Sunday
right.
Church.
That's a good point, brother. And that's one of the blessings of Catholic TV and Catholic radio. That is, it keeps the faith alive. And this is one of the ways that people stay connected. So we are thankful for our CEO and president, David Papandrea, for bringing us Carolina Catholic Radio. We're in our second year. In fact, almost to the week, right?
Yeah, actually about the third year.
Third year. So, yeah, that's right. We're in our third year. We've that's done right. two full years, and I am so thankful to have this opportunity to bring you guys this show. So, Carlos, before you do your hit or miss, I want to mention something. The last 2 weeks, we talked about the Equality Act, and this is something I am really hoping that a lot of people have heard about, because this is a groundbreaking and ultimately sad form of legislation that not only can creep into our society, but creep into our faith life. And we talked about this the last couple of weeks. And in particular, this is going to do the following. It forces religious operated spaces and establishments such as church halls to either host functions that violate their beliefs or close the doors to their communities. It requires women to compete against men and boys in sports, and to share locker rooms and shower facilities with men and boys. It hinders quality health care by forcing health care professionals against their best medical judgment to support treatments and procedures associated with gender transition. In other words, it is breaking down this barrier, this Equality Act. Although it sounds wonderful, it sounds benevolent, right? The Equality Act. But it's going to break down this barrier, this main thing that we've had inserted it within our culture and within politics for a couple hundred years now, and that is the freedom of religion, and it's going to crush that. The bad news is that it has been passed by the United States House. Now it's up for vote in the Senate. However, it does look like it's not going to be able to pass, but still, folks, I'm going to encourage you to do the following. So you can read, first of all, more about this, but ultimately, you can oppose this act. And please, don't just listen to these words spoken on this program. Read about it. And in particular, I'm asking you to go to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. That's the USCCB website. Put in any of those words, United States Bishops. This is going to pop up. Go to, and then when you go to the homepage, go to search and put in Equality Act. And at the bottom of that page, it says, take action. The Equality Act discriminates against people of faith and threatens unborn life. And then you can hover over a little sentence that says, tell your elected officials to oppose it. It will take you about 30 seconds to bring up that page and put in your information. The U.S. Catholic bishops will then, in turn, send it to our representatives in Washington. And please take a minute, if nothing else, to read about why this Equality Act is a huge infringement upon our freedom of religion. All right, Carlos. I would say let's take a step down in tone, but the tone may stay up there because we talk about all these controversial things. You go first. What is your hit or miss of the week?
Yeah, and John, before I go on to that, I wanted to reference to let people know that you were actually reading from that USCCB website page, and there's about four particular bullet points or five bullet points that references and why that's so important and why it's so. You know, and I think it's under the cloak of fairness, is very insidious, is because it basically would outlaw, if they pass it, it would outlaw the church from basically referencing that a man is a man as born biologically and a woman is a woman born biologically. And this is the beginning of, if you speak against that it will be basically looked at as discrimination and will stop churches from meeting if they don't abide by what would be this new interpretation of sexual identity. It's a major issue. And again, I think anybody that's listening to this, talk to your spouses, talk to your friends, and actually take some action. Go to the UCCB website, go to the bottom of the page where you can actually click that link to send something. It is really important.
Oh.
And again, I think it's under the guise of fairness, which is just, it's one of those things where I believe the devil has tried to make ways where you can kind of avoid what the true intentions are of something like this particular law.
Well stated, brother. You're hit and miss. What do you got for us?
So the hit and miss, basically what's been in the news a lot, obviously Cuomo's probably been the most kind of in the news right now, but in sports in general, there's everything from athletes, Deshaun Jackson just had 16 lawsuits filed on Saturday about sexual harassment claims against him. Whether they're true or not, that'll be decided. The Washington Redskins, the owner, Dan Snyder, his organization has been accused of by over 40 people and women, saying that his organization over the last 15 years have had sexual harassment issues with personnel there. Yeah. So the question is, well, it's twofold. One of them is sexual harassment is something that I think has been beneficial, that has become more public, has come into the spotlight.
Right.
And as men, we need to take responsibility for our organization and our teams and our kids and everybody that's under us and those who work for us. So the question really is, I mean, it's kind of two-sided. One of them is, I think it's positive that sexual harassment is becoming far more visible, and hopefully these high-case, high-profile issues are going to attract attention to this, so there will be change. But the other question then is Dan Snyder, as the owner of the Washington Redskins, how accountable is he for the discrimination or the harassment that occurred in his organization that, you know, who knows how many people have worked for him, probably in the hundreds, maybe even thousands.
That's right.
And unless he had direct knowledge, how culpable is he for something like that?
No, that's a good question. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio and on Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. We're being joined, as we do just about every week, by Carlos Herrera. We're talking about his hit or miss for the week. So, Carlos, this is a hit because this is just bringing attention to a kind of a worldwide problem. I think the United States has kind of taken the lead on this. And let me ask you about the Washington Redskins and Dan Snyder. Whereas you mentioned NFL quarterback Deshaun Watson, there's numerous, over a dozen people that have come forward and different lawsuits. Is there any type of lawsuit against the Redskins and Dan Snyder?
So the reason this is in the news is because Dan Snyder wants to buy out three existing minority partners, and minority being minority ownership, 40% of the ownership. And he's going to buy them out for about $875 million. Any buyout or any purchase of a team has to go to the NFL for approval by all the owners.
Yeah.
But there are different groups that all of a sudden this has raised kind of awareness in a variety of women's groups who are trying to advocate to the NFL to basically cancel the ownership until there is an investigation by an independent third-party woman attorney in D.C. who's trying to figure out what has happened, how much has Dan Snyder have known, et cetera. And that report's supposed to be out in the next couple of weeks, so they're trying to delay that before the NFL speaks. That's why it's come up. And part of the reason is the NFL, the Redskins, was bought by Dan Snyder in 1991 for $800 million. It is now worth anywhere from $3.5 billion to $4 billion. We're talking about a 400% increase, almost 450% increase in value. So it's a lot of money. It's very high profile. And whether you agree or like Dan Snyder, it has a lot of implications for his team and for him personally.
Yeah, and in our society. And the reason I would look at the issue that you've brought up as a hit is what you just said. There are a lot of big organizations out there. There's a lot of big organizations that we know of by name. But the difference between a major league sports team and, say, Starbucks or Amazon, whatever the case is that they don't specifically have, for instance, television programs. And that's the one thing all sports have. All major sports have television programs. And what I mean is all of their games are on TV. And so this is a great opportunity for Dan Snyder and the Washington Redskins to do the right thing. Because as you mentioned, the term high profile, nothing is more high profile than the NFL, and nothing is more high profile than the NFL and teams within the NFL in particular, I should say. And this is a great opportunity for Snyder to do the right thing, whether he knew about it or not. In fact, I'm sure he could have lawyers that would even be the first year in law school that could show that he had no knowledge of this, so he shouldn't be, you know, indicted on any of these issues. Not to say that he does. I don't know anything about this, about the specifics. But either way, he has an opportunity to show the world, as a big organization, exactly what to do. Do I have confidence in him or any other big organization to do the right thing and to be a good representative of how to handle something like this? Not really. He doesn't have a great reputation in his community, you know, as as an owner of a major franchise and so forth, but he does have an opportunity, doesn't he, brother?
He sure does. And we would remind our fans that it's a team formerly known as the Washington Redskins.
That's right. Did I say the Redskins?
Yeah. No, I think we both did.
Yeah, it's actually the Washington football team.
The Washington football team. By the way, Carlos, has there been any talk? Because we are inching all the closer to spring camp, and you know, before we know it, it's going to be hot and humid, and it's going to be falls right around the corner. They must be fairly close or hinting at what they're going to name this team.
Well, that's part of it. I think in buying out these three partners, I think he has more of a personal say in what will go on. And the naming rights can't have the leverage because the CEO, the owner of FedEx, is one of the minority owners. So FedEx has a big leverage on that team. It'll be very exciting. It's clearly one of the most lucrative franchises in the world. So it is a big deal and a big high-profile case.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're joined by Carlos Herrera here on Faith in Sport. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. Thank you for joining us on Radio Maria as well. Carlos just got done talking about his hit or miss in the world of sport. I, in particular, have a miss this week. It's Rutgers basketball, and in particular, a player by the name of Geo Baker. Now, everybody knows, probably, that what's called March Madness is going on. This is a 68-team tournament in college basketball, and they play, and right now they're down to the near final eight. In fact, we're down to 12 teams. We're down to eight teams, and then after the next couple of days, we're going to be down to the final four. Anyway, Rutgers is out of it. They made it for the first time in 30 years to the tournament. And this player, Geo Baker, wanted to take this opportunity to put the spotlight on this NIL policy. It's name, image, and likeness. And this is the NCAA's way to compensate or allow compensation to the college athlete without directly paying them from the university. So a player could sign a deal with a shoe contract, with other apparel. They could their name or likeness could be on a video game. And the NCAA is developing this policy, developing this via the courts and lawyers and so forth to try to give these players an opportunity. But this player, Geo Baker, he was talking about delaying the game between Rutgers, his team, and Clemson in the first round about 10 days ago to give exposure and to protest the inequities in college. And I was like, well, what's he? And of course, I went right to it and I said, well, what's he protesting? And he's protesting that there is not enough, this NIL policy isn't moving fast enough with the NCAA. And of course, he's just a 20-year-old guy. He probably doesn't really know how the court systems work. However, the NCAA has made it crystal clear, Carlos, that they are moving this policy ahead and they're trying to get it passed. And so to break away some of these inequities. And I just thought it was interesting that he was kicking a horse basically while it was already down. This horse is running. All he has to do is ride it and then see what happens in the next few months. I think this thing is inevitable. And he's trying to bring exposure to it by protesting this game. By the way, the main reason he said that the players on both sides, Clemson and Rutgers, didn't actually protest the game is because they were fearful because they heard that CBS would cancel the game or whoever was covering their game would actually just cancel it and go to another game. And so they thought, well, we better not do that. But I think that's interesting that they would, like, in other words, wouldn't that bring you the greatest exposure to have it canceled? That would bring you more notoriety than anything. And I thought that was, I just thought it was interesting. Anyway, I think he's going down the wrong path, especially since it looks like the NCAA is going to, they're going to okay this policy. And one last point, Carlos. Also, I feel bad for the coaches in these situations. They can't say anything. Even if the player, like, for instance, this is not a moral issue. If a player or a coach or me or you, we support this NIL rule, this is not a matter of morality, right? It's just a matter of opinion. It's not even ethics. It's just a matter of opinion whether this should be instilled. There's nothing against the law in here and so forth. It's whether you just want to see college athletics kept purely amateur or you want to see them get some money. But either way, when these players speak out at all levels, whether it's high school, college, or pro, when these players speak out, if they say something that's ridiculous or against the morals or against something that the coach believes in, that coach can't say anything. Otherwise, they are chastised, and often they're either removed from their job as coach, or they are threatened to have their job removed. I think it's awful for sport. I think it's awful for everybody involved.
Real interesting. You know, it's obviously it's either a politician is helping them or an attorney who helps politicians, because it's kind of like, you know, bad press. Never let a press opportunity go to waste. But bad press is the same as good press. I've never heard of this kid before. Clearly, he's now elevated his notoriety as a result of this. You know, and this is economics. I'm sure he's frustrated that they haven't come up with a policy, because he's. I mean, I don't know what year he's in, but you know, he's not going to get compensated any if they come up with this rule or the implementation of this rule 2 years from now.
That's right.
Right. So. It's economics. Like you said, it's morality. I think it's not an issue of morality, and I think the coaches are in a tough spot. Right? They're paid to coach for schools to be and have an opportunity to play in the tournament, and for some ideological perspective on the small. I mean, even how much revenue would kids be getting, and to give up your opportunity to play, I think is ridiculous. I think they did the right thing to not postpone or cancel this game.
Yeah. The irony was I shouldn't say the irony, because I thought it would only be justice that Clemson would win that game, but they're both willing to protest. And by the way, I should say, not an irony, that Rutgers actually ended up winning that game, but I think it was in the next round they actually lost. All right, there, brother. Listen, thank you for joining us. Listen, have a good Holy Week. Make it holy in your house, brother. I'll be praying for you. I ask that you pray for me and our family, and we'll talk soon either way.
Thanks for having me on, and have a blessed week, and congratulations again to the new addition to your family in time for this beautiful week. So have a great show.
Thank you, Carlos. There you go, folks. Carlos Herrera, certified
Lolitos!
Certified soccer coach up in the Northern Virginia area. He's a former youth director at a parish up there in the Northern Virginia area as well. Longtime friend of mine, and he joins us just about each and every week to talk about the hit and miss and other things going on in the world of sport. Folks, we want to thank you for joining us today. This is where Faith and Sport, where we look at sport through a Catholic lens, and whatever it has to do with sport, we want to talk about it, but especially if it deals with character, morality, and ethics, we want to talk about that. So please, all the time, think about stuff that you'd like to hear talked about on this show. Send me an email, send me a tweet, open up your window, shout we're loud, maybe I'll hear you. We want to know what you're thinking, and especially how much you enjoy this show. Not if you don't enjoy the show, but we just want to know. No, in fact, we want to know what you think of the show in general. You can email me at faithandsport@wingate.edu. The reason it's Wingate, by the way, is I teach exercise science at Wingate University. Listen, folks, stay tuned, because after the break, we're going to go into a break here in a minute. We're going to do weekend headlines. We're going to do the Charlotte Catholic football update. But then we're going to go to break. And then after the break, we have Michael Lynch, part two. He is the women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey. This guy has great stuff to say. He instills faith and character and ethics. He does the very thing that we talk about on this show. He's going to be our guest right after the break. We got the quick Q&A with Dr. A, and who knows whatever else we'll talk about that's going to entertain the heck out of you. Folks, remember, before we go to the Charlotte Catholic football update, go to the United States Catholic Bishops website and scroll to the bottom where they discuss the Equality Act. Read about why this Equality Act is awful for our society and why these politicians need to hear from you in particular why you would like for them to oppose it. So, again, oppose the Equality Act. All right, Mr. Chris, why don't we do this? Why don't we go to Charlotte Catholic football update? After that, we'll do weekend headlines, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Okay, here we go with Summer McNamara.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Summer McNamara, back with another recap of Charlotte Catholic's last football game. Charlotte Catholic battled against Park Wood in Kiefer Stadium to come out with yet another win. The homecoming game was again another victory for Charlotte Catholic. Number 85, Jack Larson, scored the first touchdown of the game after a 28-yard touchdown pass by quarterback Sean Boyle. Paul Neal followed shortly with a 7-yard touchdown run. Number 32, Akil Williams, a sophomore at Charlotte Catholic, had a 10-yard touchdown run. At halftime, the chosen homecoming court made their way across the field. Senior Ava was chosen as homecoming queen by Principal Kurt Telford, and the stands went wild. The homecoming game has been a long-standing tradition at Charlotte Catholic. This year, Catholic was still able to continue this tradition. The senior girls all met to get ready for the game in a tradition called Pink Posse, while the rest of the school dressed in whiteout. Right into the third quarter, Sean Boyle again had another touchdown pass to number 17, Ryan Collins. Parkwood snuck up from behind and was able to score two touchdown passes. However, it was not enough to defeat the Red Machine. Akeel Williams scored again with a 30-yard touchdown run. Charlotte Catholic had a total of 239 rushing yards and 61 passing yards for a total of 300 yards. Catholic had zero turnovers and zero fumbles, while Parkwood had two of both. The game ended with a score of 44-14. Charlotte Catholic prepares to face Cuthbertson on April 5th in an away game, their first away game since February. If you liked what you heard here today, be sure to check out CarolinaCatholicRadio.org, and please join us next time.
There you go, folks. Summer McNamara with our Charlotte Catholic football update, or actually recap, as she said. She does a super job. Good for her. All right, folks, listen, we got a minute before we go into our break, but let's do weekend headlines. Here we go, folks. In the PGA, American Joel Dahman wins the Punta Cana Championship in the Caribbean. The Valero Texas Open is this week, with the Masters lurking the following week. In the NFL, they're expected to increase the regular season by one game to 17 regular season games. All initial commentary and voices from former and current players is critical of the move. In other words, they do not want to see this happening. Stay tuned for the second half of the show, where in the Q&A I talk about this a little more. In NCAA men's basketball, March Madness continues and several underdogs continue to advance. We're down to the Elite Eight after UCLA knocked off highly ranked Alabama. Gonzaga still alive, aiming to be the first undefeated team since 1976. Major League Baseball. Exhibition games are winding up this week, and opening day is later this week, April 1st, this Thursday. So there you have it, folks. Sports headlines that may or may not change your life. Chris, let's go to a break. Let's warm the people up. Mike Lynch is going to be on the line right after the break. He's the women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey. We're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A and maybe some other fun stuff. Take us into the break, brother, here on Faith and Sport.
You are listening to Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also a co-production of Radio Maria, so stay tuned, all of our Radio Maria listeners and Carolina Catholic Radio Network listeners. Right after the break, we've got more Faith and Sport coming your way. And if you can't get enough Faith and Sport, check out the Faith and Sport archive on demand at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org.
The Carolina Catholic Video on Demand section is now available, with over 40 video segments from our 12-hour virtual conference held on September 12th. You'll find it under the On Demand tab at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org.
Carolina Catholic News. Pro-Choice now has another choice. Let Them Live, an organization that crowdfunds financial aid for expectant mothers, is gaining well-deserved recognition for its pro-women stance. Emily Burning, president and social activist, stated, "We found that 73% of women have abortions because of financial reasons, which is a huge chunk. So we realize those abortions are 100% avoidable. Imagine that. Reaching financially destitute women with an entire staff of pregnancy counselors that are dedicated to 24/7 support will help women in these situations know that they are not alone. They don't have to make that choice, so they can be a mother and they can take care of their finances and make sure that they are stable to care for their family. The message is to let women know that they can do this. We want them to know that this idea of abortion is so anti-woman and anti-feminism. They don't have have to make any abortion decisions simply because of their circumstances, Emily said. Circumstances are so temporary and abortion is so permanent. Visit Let Them Live on Facebook to get involved and donate. You will be saving a life from abortion. CarolinaCatholicRadio.org news section has details about Let Them Live with an interview by the organization president you won't want to miss. For the Carolina Catholic Radio News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
Hi, folks. Dr. John Acquaviva here, host of one of the local shows on Carolina Catholic Radio called Faith in Sport. And I invite you to check out my new book, Improving Body Image Through Catholic Teaching. This book is meant to address one of our culture's silent soul killers feeling terrible about how we look. But remember, God has something to say about this as well. That's Improving Body Image Through Catholic Teaching, available at tanbooks.com or Amazon. And be sure to join me for Faith in Sport.
The Carolina Catholic 40 Days of Giving Lenten Pledge Drive is underway. Carolina Catholic has expanded its local lineup with a wide array of new programs each week, like Spotlight with Gail Buckley-Berringer, Faith in Sport with Dr. John Acquaviva, and Joyful Echo with Gene Whalen and Kathleen Lewis. You'll find all programs available anytime on demand. Remember, Carolina Catholic is a 100% listener-supported 501c3 nonprofit. Please consider making a pledge to donate today through our website or mobile app. Thank you for your support.
And we are back with more Faith in Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, as well as the Radio Maria Network. We're a co-production of Radio Maria, so glad to have all of our Radio Maria listeners tuned in around the Radio Maria Radio Network. We're also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. And once again, here he is, the host of Faith in Sport, the one, the only, Dr. John Acquaviva.
You know, Chris, you said the one and the only, right? This is about 10 years ago. I was a rugby referee, right? I played rugby for about 15 years. And then the way to get back to the sport, to stay active, to just do something, to kind of, bit the way to, you know, stay active in the sport of rugby in particular, I was refereeing a game between Cornell University, who came down to play the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. And I was asked to referee that game. And one of the things you do is, as the teams are warming up, you bring in the two captains about 5 minutes before the game begins. You do the coin flip. You give them some last-minute instructions and so forth. And I said to the guy from Virginia, I said, John Acquaviva, referee. And he said, good to meet you. You know, my name's, Rocco Sklobinski, right? And then the other guy, he introduces himself, and he goes, what's your name, John Acquaviva? And because he said it so quickly and accurately, that split second I went, he knows somebody named Acquaviva. And he goes, your first name's John. And I said, yes. Acquaviva is your last name. I said, yes. And he goes, my gosh, we have a player on our team named John Acquaviva. And I said, no way. He goes, John, come here. And this guy runs up to me and he goes, John Acquaviva, meet John Acquaviva. So in a way, I'm not the one and the only. I may be the one and the only John Carlo Acquaviva.
Yeah.
But this little guy, I say little guy, I'm not very tall. He was like 3 inches shorter than me. But it was so neat to meet another John Acquaviva. But we talked for a minute. I don't think we were any relation to one another. He was from New York. My family's from the Detroit area. But I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
But of course, you're like, that's a kind of a unique name, right? But darn if there wasn't this other John Acquaviva stealing my thunder.
Yeah.
Now, here's the challenge I have for that John Acquaviva. Does he have a show called Faith in Sport?
That's right.
On Catholic Radio. Well, folks, listen, in 1 minute, we're bringing on Mike Lynch. He is the women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey. If that name sounds familiar, if that whole title sounds familiar, he's joining us for the second time. This guy I thought was so interesting. He had so many things to say. In fact, about 2 minutes into the conversation with him last time, I was like, I got to have this guy on for part two. So he's going to join us here just in a minute. And stay tuned, because at the end of the show, we're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A. Chris, we didn't do it last week.
No. Nope.
And people were writing in. They were screaming from the mountaintops, where's quick Q&A with Dr. A? I like it, as one of my students said. They're like, wait a minute. So you're rhyming with the same letter. Because you're right, it sounds like it's kind of clever. The quick Q&A with Dr. A. But of course, I'm rhyming with the exact same.
Yep, and they're always hoping each week that I'm going to stump you with a question, but I haven't done it yet.
That's right. Folks, listen, before we get to Michael Lynch, women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey, I want to give a friendly reminder. First, I'm going to echo the words that Carlo said and what I talked about in the beginning of the show. This is Holy Week, and we want you to have a really good Holy Week. But I'm going to challenge you, folks. Staying at home, watching Mass via Zoom is designated for the people that are in genuine fear of getting COVID, have COVID, or there's something related to COVID. It is designated for those folks only. If it has been months or even a year since you've been at Mass, this is a great time to re-engage with your faith. There's the Triduum coming up. There's Holy Thursday. There's Good Friday. And then we have Easter Sunday. And in fact, your parish might be like mine. It's not even offering, my parish, offering the Saturday vigil. But folks, reconsider this. If you were thinking about staying home for the Triduum, try to re-engage with your faith, and let's have a restart in going to Mass live. That's where the sacrament of the Eucharist is, and that's where we get the most out of that Mass. So reconsider, in fact, restarting your faith here this week in Holy Week. All right, let's bring Michael Lynch on right now. He's the women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey. Coach Lynch, welcome back to the show.
John, good to talk with you. Always a pleasure.
I appreciate it, brother. Listen, we have somebody in common, and that is Dr. Bill Thierfelder. I consider him a friend of mine. I certainly see him as I look up to him because he was the first one, and he articulates the whole concept of sport and virtue as well, if not better than anybody I know. And you mentioned to me that you were listening to Catholic radio while you were living in Omaha, Nebraska, and you actually heard him speak on sport and virtue. Tell us how that led to you being at Belmont Abbey.
Yeah, you know, I commuted to Lincoln, Nebraska, where I was coaching at Nebraska Wesleyan University, from my home in Omaha. And we would always practice at night. I'd get home late at night, so I'd always listen to the Catholic radio station on the way home.
Yeah.
And one night, all of a sudden, it was, you know, Dr. Thierfelder, who I hadn't met before. And I didn't really know anything. I knew a little bit about Belmont Abbey as I had heard some of the things that they were doing, you know, as far as protection of religious liberty and that kind of stuff. But I really didn't know much about their athletic programs or kind of what they were doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm listening to this in the car, and he's talking about Belmont Abbey College and Abbey Athletics and the culture that we're trying to create around sport and virtue. And I was in my car. My jaw was just dropped. I was like, oh, my gosh. This is a place that I would love to be coaching at. It's everything I've always believed in and I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And so I reached out to him. I sent him an email the next day, and I just said, hey, I happened to catch your show, and if you ever need a soccer coach, please let me know. And he wrote back to me and thanked me for you know, praying for the Abbey and supporting the college and all that. And he said, I'm a big believer in Providence, and I think our paths will cross someday.
Interesting.
And it was probably about a year later is when the both the men's and women's soccer positions came open, and both John Keating and I were both from Omaha. We both coached together, and that's kind of what led to then us coming to Belmont Abbey.
That's awesome. That's a great story, folks. We're talking with Michael Lynch. He's the head women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey. And he just talked about what led him to eventually take that job after hearing Dr. Thierfelder, the president of Belmont Abbey, on Catholic radio where he was living in Omaha, Nebraska. And now you are in your ninth year of coaching. Is that correct at Belmont Abbey?
That's correct. Yeah.
Gosh, that is awesome. Yeah, that is true providential, isn't it? That is.
It is. You know, when I and coming to North Carolina from Omaha, you know, North Carolina is kind of known as the soccer state. You know, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Vance Endurance, and all the NCAA championships.
But, yep.
And it's always hosted some of the top youth tournaments. And so when we were living in Omaha, I made several trips out to North Carolina with my kids when they were playing and trying to be recruited in that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the idea of coming to North Carolina and then, you know, being able to coach at a place like Belmont Abbey College was very appealing.
Coach, this is kind of a random question. In fact, it is a random question, but I'm just curious, at a purely Catholic institution like Belmont Abbey, and you being Catholic yourself, do athletes ever, in your 9 years, do they ever ask you about the Catholic culture there on campus, or is that a relatively common question?
you know, during the recruiting process, it's something that we certainly want to explore with our prospects, you know, and so usually it'll come up as part of our campus tour. So as we're taking the student, you know, around campus and showing them the academic buildings and, you know, the basilica and different things like that. And so usually that conversation, if it hasn't already come up, it'll come up there just kind of either if they're Catholic or not, or if it's something that, you know, what role does faith play in their life? And so that seed has already been planted with that future prospect that's letting them know that that's part of our program.
Love it.
Doesn't mean you have to be Catholic to be a student here at Belmont Abbey, to be an athlete at Belmont Abbey, but it certainly is going to be an important piece of our program. And then, of course, you know, once they're on campus, you know, those that, you know, because there's, you know, usually a percentage of our team certainly are Catholic. And then, and I would say probably an equal number come from another Christian denomination where it was very important in their families growing up. And then probably another third or so, or maybe a little bit smaller group, where they didn't have any organized faith experience, but they're excited to be at Belmont Abbey College.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. We're talking with Michael Lynch, the head soccer coach for the women's soccer team at Belmont Abbey. Coach, it's interesting you're mentioning that. And as I develop that question about do recruits ever ask about what is the Catholic culture on campus? Because as you know, Michael, and I think a lot of our listeners know, they probably can't name even but a couple dozen maybe, but there's over 130 Catholic schools, at least loosely identify with the Catholic faith. And one of the things that I've done when I daydream about my past, right? I was a Division II baseball player, so similar to a school like Belmont Abbey. But one of the things I daydream about, and I mean this, is that I wish I would have formulated the question, what is the Catholic culture? Like, what is the Catholic community at these places that were gently recruiting me? I wasn't a big recruit, but I was recruited gently, and I ended up going to Division II to play baseball. And the reason I daydream about that is I wish that my faith would have caught fire while I was a college student, because I think that's one of the best places that you can nurture it and be around other people. And I often do that, and I wish I just would have had the courage, but also I just wish I would have had the Catholic background at the time. And I was like you, probably. You mentioned to me that you were a cradle Catholic, but you're a revert to the faith, and it was after college I got invigorated to like rejoin the faith. And in fact, that's what I want to ask you about next. So you're a revert, kind of like me. We probably have maybe a similar path there. It's probably in our mid-20s or late-20s that you reverted back to the faith. But actually, it was non-Catholic music and ministries that brought you back to the Catholic faith. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I had a long history of interactions with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so that's the evangelical Protestant
Yep.
Bent, if you will.
Yep.
And that experience first started purely by accident. I went to this camp because I saw the list of soccer coaches. I respected those. And I said, hey, these are some coaches I can learn from. And then at the beginning of every camp day, we had this thing called the huddle, and they would talk about scripture verses and how it related to sports and life. And I, you know, took good notes. I was a good student and everything. But it really, really, I'd never looked at my faith that way, as far as outside of Sunday Mass or the sacraments, and or the other sacraments, and so I just that kind of planted a seed in me. And then as I got older, I went to the Air Force Academy, and so when I graduated, I was on active duty, but I immediately got into club ball and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me a path to go back to the Air Force Academy and coach, and so. And in that time, again, I was really, really into studying elite performance, peak performance, and character, and those kinds of things. But I wasn't making the real connection with my faith. That, you know, there. Remember the kind of the FCA playbook that kind of linked those two together.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then as I went on, and I left coaching and I went into pharmaceuticals, and that's when my family was starting to grow. And like you said, you start to get into your late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s. And that's when I started to, I had this burning feeling about there's something out there that I want to get more of.
Yeah.
And and I was a sales manager, so you know, and a sales rep at first, so I had a big, large territory. And kind of my playbook was, on my way out to my territory, I would do kind of a car university, the auto university. So I was doing all kinds of self-help and leadership and all those kinds of things in listening to books on tape.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in between sales calls, in the middle of the day, I think I was probably catching Rush Limbaugh or something. But anyway, on the way home, that's when I would always listen to Christian music.
Yeah.
And at that time, I could always find a K-Love station. And so, and at least across Nebraska and in Colorado,
yep,
you could always catch a K-Love station,
yep,
everywhere you went. And that's when I fell in love with Christian music, you know, contemporary Christian music.
Yeah.
And so then and my kids started listening to contemporary Christian music. You know, so here's music I can play in the car. I don't have to worry about the lyrics, you know, and the lyrics,
right,
are positive and they're encouraging.
That's
positive,
right,
encouraging, you know, K-Love. And so anyway, and I found that it's kind of like, you know, hardened heart doesn't hear much. But as it gets softened, you start hearing more.
That's right.
And so as I found that as I was listening to Christian music, I was starting to get more, you know, out of my Sunday Mass experience, you know, and I was starting to, you know, it was starting to, I guess, light a fire, if you will. At the same time, I was thinking about now discerning, am I really supposed to, you know, supposed to pursue a career in sales and sales management?
Yeah.
Or did, you know, was the calling that God wanted me to be in athletics or be a coach? And so I really started trying to think about that. I went and returned. We talked last time about the United Soccer Coaches. That's our professional coaching association. So I went back. I went in 2003. I went to the convention and started diving back into soccer coaching as well, kind of on the side. And I went, and there was an FC, Fellowship of Christian Athletes booth as one, mm-hmm, of the exhibitors in the exhibit hall.
Mm-hmm.
David Smale. And I talked to him, and he just, it sounds like, you know, you're trying to discern what you want to do and, you know, what God's calling is for you. And so all of a sudden I just found, you know, this passion to really explore my faith again. At the same time is when, you know, they had adoration at our church. And so as I'm trying to figure out, do I want to stay in sales? Do I want to go back into coaching? I started doing adoration. I had the Sunday 9 o'clock slot. And so, anyway, I'd go and do my adoration time.
Yeah.
And I was reflecting on a passage that I'd read with Matthew Kelly, you know, the Catholic author, Matthew
Kelly. Of
course,
yeah.
And he was like, he said, hey, when you meditate, especially, you know, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, just meditate on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Sacred Heart of Jesus. Just keep saying that over and over and over. And I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So in my adoration, I was doing that. And this is the truth here. All of a sudden, you know, I had this unbelievable experience where it sounds kind of crazy, but the whole room kind of lit up, and I got this loud voice that said, hey, yes, it is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but really it was the Lamb of God prayer in Mass. This is the Lamb of God.
Yeah. That's
and,
awesome.
You know, who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who called to his supper. Remember the old version of the Lamb of God at Mass.
Yeah.
I mean, that was screamed at me.
Wow.
And I was like, I mean, I fell back in my chair like, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
And then from that point is when I really started to go, wow, okay. I need to really pursue this. I really need to see what my exit strategy is to get back into coaching and to try to find a place, hopefully, where I can coach, you know, where I'm formed by my faith.
Brother, that was a great story. And remember, you're in good company here, because it would only be a crazy story if our audience was secular. But everybody, you can see.
That's true.
No, I mean, on Carolina Catholic Radio and all our listeners on Radio Maria, everybody's nodding right now, because it's one thing to come into the faith. We're all introduced to it. You know, I should say almost all of us are introduced to it as youngsters. Before we even knew what was going on, we were introduced to it. But what keeps us coming back is that we've experienced God through the sacraments. We've experienced God through Holy Mass and so forth. And what a blessing for you to have that experience. That's awesome. Folks, we're talking with Michael Lynch. He is the women's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey College. Michael, you know, one of the neat things about you going from, you were in pharmaceutical sales, right?
Correct.
So one of the great things about switching from pharmaceutical sales to a women's soccer coach at a Division II university or college is that you're probably making three, four, five times the rate that you did as a pharmaceutical salesperson. So you're in the right spot for many reasons, brother.
Exactly. It was about a 75% pay cut, I think. My wife kept asking me, are you crazy?
I'm surprised she didn't say something like, are you that Catholic? And then, of course, your response would have been, yes, like God is calling me to do this. In fact, well, Michael, I'm surprised it was only a 75% cut. I figured it'd be about a 175% cut.
Yeah, probably was higher than that. And I kept coming back with, we walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah, that's right. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. This is where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. Our guest today is Coach Michael Lynch. He's the head soccer coach at Belmont Abbey. And one more thing for you, Coach, and I think this is so impressive that, first of all, that the United Soccer Coaches even offer this award, but you guys have won it. It's called the Pinnacle Award. And Belmont Abbey's women's team, the soccer team, has been awarded this. Is this true?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
tell us what qualifies you to win this award.
Yeah, so the Pinnacle Award, it first became a new award in 2018. The inaugural year, we actually won it. It's a really, really, really exclusive award. The criteria is you have to have a win-loss record 0.750 or higher, and so, but that's like the hardest and last thing that you're trying to achieve, because the other two items are the grade point. The team grade point average has to be over 3.0.
Wow.
You have excellence in academics, and then you have to have excellence in sportsmanship and ethics. And whether this is the greatest criteria or the way to measure it is debatable. But what they've created is a team ethics and sportsmanship award, and the way you would qualify for that is you've played in 10 games, mm-hmm. and in less than 50% of those games, you got zero red, and you got less than 50% yellow cards, which is a caution for unsportsmanlike or, one of those fouls.
Yep.
And so you have to, your team grade point average has to be over 3.0. You have to have gotten through your season and not have committed, any red cards and only, not very many yellow cards. And then you have to have a winning percentage of greater than 0.750. It's so challenging that in that first year when we were one of the 22 colleges in the entire country that achieved all three criteria. So that's 22 out of 3,000.
Wow.
And so it puts you like in the top 0.1%. I mean it's just really, really hard to get. The next year we came up short. We were just short in the winning percentage. And it was interesting that the following year, last year, only 9 colleges were able to achieve this out of 3,000, and there were 3 that actually repeated. And I called the coach. I said, I called all 3 of them. I just said, I'm just so impressed with not only that you guys won this award, but you're a repeat. I mean, it's just so hard to do. And again, the story was the same. It's about focusing on character and their team and just doing the right thing.
Absolutely. That is amazing. And in fact, there are so many criteria here, Coach, that I would think it's quite possible in one of the upcoming years that no team would qualify for this. Winning 75% or more of your games, GPA of 3.0 as a team, and then no red cards, and then total yellow cards less than 50% of the games. Wouldn't you? It'd be easy to predict that there's going to be one year that nobody's going to qualify.
Yes. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It's so exclusive. They have the same award in high school ball. And, there's 10,000 high schools.
Of course.
And there are only, this year, there are only 25 high schools that achieve that criteria. Now, again, that assumes the coach is a member of the professional association and they submitted their things. But still, that award is out there. And so we're trying to keep it visible, to have, it's not something to say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. But it is. It's kind of one of the metrics that we're just showing that we're walking the talk and that we're what we think is important and we're being deliberate about our actions.
Absolutely. Coach, I can't thank you enough for being on. This is a great conversation, but I do want to be respectful of your time, and I know you got to get to your next thing in the next couple of minutes, but thank you for saying yes to the job at Belmont Abbey and bringing character and virtue to one of our colleges, especially one of our nearby colleges. Coach Mike Lynch, you have a good Holy Week, brother, and thank you again for joining us on Faith and Sport.
Yeah, thank you, John, and I appreciate it very much.
Okay, you take care. Well, there you go, folks. Well, that was a great conversation.
Yeah.
What a terrific guy. And I think Dr. Thierfelder and everybody at Belmont Abbey is giving thanks for bringing Michael Lynch to that position, because it just adds so much. And congratulations to Belmont Abbey in particular for the women's soccer team for winning that United Soccer Coaches Pinnacle Award.
Right.
Good for him.
And one of my highlights of the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas was hearing Bill Thierfelder speak.
That's right. He was the keynote speaker. Yeah. He did a great job. I thought that was terrific. All right, folks, listen, we have a couple more minutes, but one thing I wanted to do is mention again who's supporting us here on Faith and Sport, and that is Carolina Crawl Space Pros. Folks, homes in the area undergo moisture-related issues, especially in the upcoming high-humidity summer months. Humidity and excess moisture leads to wood frames to deteriorate, mold, buckled hardwood floors, and insect problems, just to name a few. So don't go to bed with crawl space woes. Call Carolina Crawl Space Pros. Chris, don't you love that part?
Yeah.
Today for a free estimate and an additional $250 off if you use the code word FAITH. So for website and contact information, go to my page on Carolina Catholic Radio. That's Carolina Crawl Space Pros. Chris, I think we have time. Let's do this. I mentioned the quick Q&A with Dr. A. Shoot that question at me, and I'll just give it a 30 to 60 second response.
Okay. What are your thoughts of NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis's critique of the league?
I actually liked it, although it wasn't as critical of some of the things I thought it would be. Like, for instance, I thought he would criticize the NFL for allowing so much politics to come into league, maybe address the low TV ratings and how to bring those back up. But what he brought up was the issue that was aforementioned here on this show, and that was they're going from 16 to 17 games. And this is a major issue because the NFL is crying foul all the time that they are trying to fix this problem of concussions. But one of the things that will truly bring the concussion rate up is because they happen virtually every game is right. to raise the number of hard-hitting games they have. And even though it's not official at this point, everybody agrees that it's going to be on the slate for next year. And I think that's one sure way to increase the amount of injuries, not decrease it. And I like that Ray Luce was critical of the NFL in this case. So read more about that, Ray Lewis's comments on the NFL. Well, folks, listen, as always, I want to end with a quote from John Paul II. Give thanks to God for the gift of sport in which the human person exercises his body, intellect, and will, recognizing these abilities as so many gifts of his creator. Again, that's from John Paul II. Before we go, I want to give a special thank you to Carlos Herrera and Coach Michael Lynch for joining me on the show today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio for Faith and Sport, and have a wonderful Holy Week.
You've been listening to Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, as well as the Radio Maria Network. So we want to thank all of our Carolina Catholic Radio Network listeners for tuning in, as well as our Radio Maria listeners, and invite you to tune in next week for more Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. And we'll be back on the Radio Maria Radio Network as well. And in the meantime, if you can't get enough Faith and Sport, check out Faith and Sport On Demand on CarolinaCatholicRadio.org.
Catch the spirit. Learn, love, and live your faith. AM 1270, Catholic Radio, WCGC, Belmont, where Charlotte grows in Christ. Flagship station of the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.